Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to this review from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
And just start in like this. We're here with another Rundown Reviews.
Oh, you didn't even give it a pause.
I can edit that. It's fine. Yeah, exactly. Just brief enough so I know where to stop it. I'm your host, Joe. With me, as always, my co-host, Ron.
Hey, everybody.
We have special guests today from Wreck My Podcast. We've got Joe, another Joe.
Hello, podcast world.
How you doing, bud?
Doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Not too bad.
Yeah, not too shabby. I know it's been too long since you've been on here.
It has been. It has been a minute. Last time I was here, we were working on the Iron Man story arc.
Long time ago. I think we're still at your charity's house. A while.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we don't have the same problems, connecting problems like we had last time.
Yeah, it was a little rough last time.
God, that was bad. I've since changed to a different recording format, and I love this one a lot better.
Yeah, this one's nice. I like it. Yeah.
This is the one I tried to get Jordan to do, you know, all those months ago, but since he records video, this one won't work for him.
But this doesn't record video. I feel like this should be able to record video.
They're working on it. So the Squadcast group is working on it. They're actually also working on trying to get this, because currently it only goes through Google Chrome. They're trying to get it to work across Safari as well. So
yeah, it makes sense.
So that way you can do a cross platform. It's fine. I mean, they're working on it. It's a newer system.
This works. This works. This works.
Exactly.
A little behind the curtain for everyone.
Who knows? I might edit that out. Probably won't. Yeah, I'm not lazy on the editing sometimes anymore.
That sounds like Jordan.
Right?
I've been lazy on the editing from the beginning.
You haven't.
Exactly. How much more lazy could I get?
Okay. So we are here on this Rundown Review. We watched the movie Danger Diabolik.
Diabolik. How does he laugh? It doesn't look like his mask moves at all.
It doesn't.
It kind of does.
Also like reverse Batman too.
Yeah. Yes. Just the eye. You see his eyes. That's it. There was a lot of Batman comparisons I was making throughout this movie,
like the Batcave.
Yeah. Exactly.
The Joker gas.
Yeah.
At one point. Yep.
It's like everyone wants to cover their eyes, and Diabolik's like, no, leave my eyes visible.
I cover everything else. I want to see you as I kill you. This is based off an Italian comic. And it is, what they call it? Fumetti? I can't remember exactly.
Do you have it written down?
Nope. I don't remember off the top of my head. I had it written down at some point in time. This Diabolik, the comic that this is based off of, basically started a new movement, a new comic era for the Italian comics. And it was kind of a big deal for that time, for the 60s.
Diabolik's over here like, I'm kind of a big deal.
I mean, he was a big deal in the comic world over there in the 60s. So much so that it's still a major property today. They're actually rebooting the series, or not the comic series. They're rebooting. They're making a new movie. It was supposed to come out this year, at the end of December, but because of COVID, it got pushed back to 2021.
So as I was watching this, what's the name of Diabolik's female sidekick, if you may call her
Eva? Eva, lover, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Helper. Anyway, I was thinking if this were to be remade, she looks a lot like Olivia Wilde.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and then Diabolik looks a lot like Jude Law. So there we go. Yeah. There's her two.
Casting done.
Damn. No, they actually already haven't made, and I've already seen a poster of it. So it's going to be coming out here soon.
Is it an Italian movie?
It's still going to be an Italian movie.
Awesome. That's even better.
Was this popular at all in the States, comic book-wise or film-wise?
So, no, it was not. Ironically enough, when it came over here in the States, it didn't do well at all. So the budget for it was 200 million lira. And the box office over in Italy was 264 million lira, or 265 million, sorry.
So you're saying they made money?
Not really. With advertising and all that. It came over here and people did not like it at first. That being said, it actually got kind of a cult following, I think, when it came on DVD and VHS. It's not a bad movie. Like when we just watched it before we record, that's how we
pull
it behind the curtain. That's how we do it. It's easier for us to do it that way. And it wasn't bad.
No, like, it wasn't bad. I was a little disappointed that we didn't get to see any boobs like Barbarella, but.
What? And that's funny.
Right?
Well, considering we found it on YouTube. Well, actually, that's not saying much, but I think there was a movie that is on Amazon Prime that Emily told me about, and I watched the trailer on YouTube, and it was boobs galore in the trailer.
Wait a minute. You watched the full movie on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, so did I.
I mean, when I found
it was originally on Pluto TV.
Yep, and then it got off of there for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Looking for it, I was like, I'm never going to find this. Pluto TV, it's a great app. If you want to watch TV that is just like constantly reruns, like MTV, where they just rerun the reality crap, it's perfect for that. If you just want to watch HTV, it's great for that.
Okay.
But when it comes to searching certain things on demand, their search function is terrible. Actually, they don't even have a search function. Yeah, how terrible the app is.
Because I've got it on my phone. I don't use it very often. But I tried to find the search function the other day, and I couldn't. I ended up just going to Google and be like, all right, Google, where can I get this?
Yeah.
And I think when I originally asked you to be on for this movie, I had found it through Google on Pluto. I hit that link, and it put me right to it. Obviously this time around it didn't have it on there. So
no, thankful to YouTube and whoever it was that posted the movie. Next time post the version with boobs.
Well, and I mean, honestly, I may get this on DVD on Blu-ray. So maybe it's got boobs in the Blu-ray version. It's
an Italian film.
Yeah. It's an Italian film. And I mean, they don't give a crap about nudity.
Exactly.
If,
unless all the stereotypes that we've heard of have been wrong. And maybe they're more strict than we are.
I doubt it.
The Roman Catholic Church is based in Italy.
Sure. Yes, I know that. But it's also the 60s. So.
Yeah. But there also weren't little boys in this film, so why would the church care to see them?
Good point.
Moving on.
Moving on.
That's
you, Charlie. All right, so we got to... Looking at the actors and for the cast of this one, we've got John Philip Law, who played Diabolik. The only one that we know him from is Barbarella. He played the Piger, the blind angel that fucks Jane Fonda.
He drives like a blind angel in this movie.
He did drive like a blind angel. God, some of the way that they were driving. I know it was all blue screen.
Fast forward, too.
Oh, God, yes, they were. That was pretty apparent.
There's one point I swear they were going to crash and go over the hill because he like turned his head to say something to her just as soon as the car started turning. I was like, whoa, look where you're going.
They're in the tunnel and they start making out and then he starts driving straight at the wall. Like,
I mean, in his defense, I'd have probably driven straight at the wall too. But.
Well, you would, yeah. Let's see. We've got Marissa Mell as Eva Kant, his lover. She
looked good.
Yeah, she did. She was a model. So, model actress. All of these guys, every cast member I'm going to name off, they're big in the Italian movie scene.
Was she discovered by Instagram?
Back in 1968, sure. Maybe.
They called it Instagraph back then.
Okay. we got Michael or Michelle. I'm just moving on. Mikhail Piccoli, there we go, as Inspector Ginkgo. He was fun. I like him.
Yeah.
We got Adolfo Celli as Ralph Valmont, the bad guy. He is most notable for playing Largo in Thunderball. You know, Largo being the villain of the James Bond movie. Funny enough, though, he also was in the movie called OK Connery, a.k.a. Operation Double 007. That movie, he played, he basically spoofed his role from Thunderball, and he played opposite Sean Connery's brother, Neil Connery.
Really?
Yeah. I kind of want to see that.
Right?
I kind of want to watch that. The other big name I can think of for this movie was Terry Thomas. He was the Minister of Interior, and then later on became the Minister of Finance. And his notable role that I could find was Sir Hiss in the Robin Hood cartoon movie. The Disney Robin Hood movie.
Oh, the one where the one that made our generation into furries.
You're not wrong. Yeah, like that was kind of fun. Like, and Ron even pointed out once I told him who it was, he's like, it kind of Sir Hiss kind of looked like him a little bit.
The gap tooth and the.
Well, I think that was notable for him as an actor. Like that actually made him recognizable on the.
Which Italian is probably why scene. They made Sir Hiss look like that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, also snake and teeth and.
Both snakes have fangs. Not buck teeth, good but
Ryan would be disappointed in me. oh, here we go. See, Fumetti or Fumetti. There we go. The Italian comic strips.
Fumetti. Nice.
Yeah. So yeah. So this movie was based off the Diabolik comic strip. It was created by Angela Gisani and her sister Lucina. Lusania, I can say words. Luciana.
They're Italian.
Luciana. There we go.
There you go.
I knew I was gonna get it at some
you
point.
Think
in time.
That, you know,
we think the Italian, we get the Italian. Nope. But the, you know, they were Milan sisters who built a small profitable publishing empire out of the King of Terror success.
The business was run by their uncle Tony.
It might have been. I know that fun little tidbit. So Diabolik wears like a latex mask over his face.
Oh, his entire suit is very BDSM.
Yes, it is. apparently, after the movie came out, and because it was popular enough with fans, when the comic was still going, the artist decided to actually draw the lips through the comic strip or through the mask on the comic strip. So kind of mirroring the movie. Which I think that's actually pretty cool.
That is.
Let's see. The film was produced by Dino De Laurentiis, which was famous for
the Italian Daniel Day Lewis.
No. famous for the King Kong 1976 movie.
Oh.
Which is pretty cool. They had they tried to give him a budget of like $400,000, but. I think the director, Mario Bava, was like, no, I need more money. Where he got the $200 million. Let's see. I know there's a couple other. The film originally was began production with Seth Holt as director. But De Laurentiis wasn't happy with Holt's take on the film. So they were going to fire him. But Holt was like, his mantra was never quit, always make them fire you. So he basically was working until they literally fired him. So he still got paid.
Nice.
Which is smart guy. Smart. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Let's see here. The American trailers feature a brief shot of an exterior of Eva's white Jaguar, in which Eva can be seen wearing a white long sleeve dress that bears no resemblance to the sleeveless red dress in the scene. This was one of the only remnants of footage left from the previous actress that was cast as Eva, Catherine Deneuve. Apparently she was cast and did like filming for a week, but didn't work well with, Philip Law. John Philip Law. It was like, all right, we're going to fire you. Get somebody else. which I think it worked out because these two, John Philip Law and what did I say her name was?
Eva.
Yeah, the lady that played Eva, Marissa Mell, they had really good chemistry. I thought they had really good chemistry in the
horrible
film.
Horrible stage kissers.
Correct, but still good chemistry playing off each other.
Like I told you and Emily when we were watching it, it looked like that's where Jim Carrey learned how to kiss.
Right. Very soap opera-y.
Yeah. For 68, it kind of worked.
Yeah.
No,
for 68, it does not hold up for today.
Is that how they kissed back in the 60s?
Apparently. I don't know. My mom's dead, so I can't ask her.
Your mom would have been, what, 10 in the 60s?
I don't know.
No, actually, I guess she would have been older than that because your mom and dad are older than my parents.
Well,
how old's Tony?
I don't know.
How much older than you is Tony?
I don't know.
How much older than you is Angie?
I barely know how old I am half the time.
You're 37.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
let's keep going here. let's see here. This movie. Oh yeah. Okay. So Terry Thomas, Sir Hiss.
Yep. That's how I have him described
Sir
in my
Hiss.
Notes.
Yeah, Sir Hiss. He filmed all of his scenes in one day because he had a really busy schedule. So when they filmed his scenes, they also had to film his dub afterwards just because they only had him for one day. And I'm not going to say it shows, but it kind of shows.
Oh, there were so many times where the dub is off.
Dude, the dub is off the entire movie. Like, I'm not going to lie. Well, because I felt like this was made and put in Italian, and then they dubbed it in English. That's what I originally thought.
Yeah,
but I think they actually did dub it all in English. Like they all say, they're all talking in English, and then it's dubbed in English.
I was wondering if the sound off was the dub or if it was the YouTube video.
It could have been both. I honestly don't know because I watched a little bit on the Daily Motion as well, and it seemed fine. But I was just scrubbing through different parts just to make sure that it wasn't English and not subtitles.
Yeah,
I'm not saying subtitles are bad. I have subtitles on all the time, but
it's a different experience.
It really is. Let's see here. The last tidbit I will give is this was the final episode. This film was the final episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000. When they finally went off the air and they only did that.
I'd love to see that.
I actually want to watch that one. They only did that because they actually loved this film and wanted to kind of, when they signed off completely and be done, they wanted to have like a little love letter to it. And my understanding, like they still, you know,
bashed it
because what they do. Yeah. But I still would like to maybe go track that down sometime and find it on like free time. Not for this, because we already watched it. Ron, go ahead and give you a quick. You have a quick little summary you want to give of the movie.
All right, so quick little summary starts off with a bank heist type of situation where they were trying to fool him into getting the wrong money, and then he got the right money anyways. He shows up in his latex bondage suit, and I thought he was going to dive right into the boat, but he missed. Darn. He gets
Where's
into
the
his
rolls?
Bag.
Where's right? the rolls?
Just it later. Up. No, it's the same part. But he meets up with his hot chick. They go to the Batcave. They have some sex on some money.
And under money.
They take showers with very convenient blurred decorations.
Right? I'm a little mad at that.
That was a little disappointing. Sir Hiss talks about how they're gonna catch him for stealing all the money and how they're gonna crack down on all the bad guys. The police start doing raids of Valmont. I knew
Valentino.
Yeah, fuck. I don't know. I knew something like that.
Okay.
Valmont's stuff, and they hit Austin Powers' hideout.
that dance scene was just so. They're passing the cigarette around, and I just
saw
the guy in the.
That's not a cigarette, Gennaro.
You know what I meant. Pass around the drugs.
It's marijuana.
The guy in the background who's just like dancing. Like, oh yeah, give me some.
I thought he was getting ready to fight the cops when they walked in there too, because he like gets up and he's like swinging his arms around like he knows karate.
Yeah.
But then we get them trying to set a trap for Diabolik, who falls for the trap but doesn't fall for the trap, but his girlfriend gets caught in another trap, and then he gets caught in a trap, but he gets out of that trap by pretending to be dead, but he's not really dead. And then he gets melted into a big, huge thing of magma, molten gold.
Molten gold.
Yep. But he's still alive. And this is where Austin Powers got Gold Member from.
Yep.
And at the end of the movie, he gives us a little wink to let us know that even though he's cast in 24 karat gold, he's...
But he's not even fully cast. Alive.
Yeah. And but my thing about it is, how long had he been in there?
Yeah. And how long is he going to remain in there? The movie just ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so... One thing I pointed out is like that whole third act didn't really need to be there. Like after he fakes his death with Ginkgo at the morgue, like that would have been a perfect ending, yep. I think.
I agree.
But I don't know. Joe, is there any scenes that stuck out to you throughout the movie?
Age and, you know, the 60s Italian filmmaking.
Yeah.
It, you know what it kind of reminded me of? It kind of reminded me of like a MacGyver. You know he's going to save the day, but the question is, how does he do it? You know Diabolik is going to get the money, but how does he do it?
So, and I went into it thinking, because I think I read it somewhere, that it's basically a James Bond-esque type of movie, comic. But he is a villain who hates villains.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. Would you consider him a villain or more of an anti-hero?
He'd be a villain. Well, because he's robbing banks. He's killing cops.
Yeah.
Maybe he is a hero.
And he's killing bad guys. So,
you know, I changed my vote. He is a hero. He's the hero that this city needed.
Okay. I would put him as a villain, but but again, villain killing villains. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Any scenes that stuck out to you?
We already mentioned the shower scene and the money fucking scene. How about the scene when she's in the doctor's office getting the massage, and then the dude walks in there and he's like, "Oh, never." And then the scene right after that where his girlfriend's like, was she beautiful? And he's like, yeah, and smart. Too smart to ask dumb questions. And then he pulls his girlfriend closer like, but don't worry, baby, you're not that smart.
And she's like, yeah. Yeah, no, that was, she was the, what did Emily say? He doesn't pay her to be smart?
Yeah.
Perfect thing.
I think they need to make more planes with trapdoors.
That was pretty cool.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it would have pulled everything out of the plane through the hole, but...
Well, yes. But now you're bringing logic into this movie.
I have that as part of our bingo, by the way.
Oh, yeah, go through the bingo.
Okay,
bingo,
so hits we hit three time. Bingo hits on this for our comic book bingo. We have government interference, unexplainable science, and identity revelation. So...
Yep. What was the unexplainable science?
First off, it would have been the not getting sucked out at the bottom of the plane. Then it would have been... the air bubbles in the lifting up the 25 or 2.5 tons of
gold that totally worked. Didn't you see it dragging it?
And then the gold looking like a fucking golden shower when he was trying to spray it into the molds.
That was terrible.
That was. More unexplainable science.
I like that the gold that he was spraying got more everywhere else than actually into the mold.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you have it under, you know, a fire hose.
High pressure.
Yeah. I did think he was going to mold his girlfriend out of gold, not going to lie.
I thought so, too, at one point in time. And I'm like, that's a waste. What are you doing?
Gilded.
If you were to have a submarine, would you make it a convertible?
Absolutely. I mean, who needs air with a submarine?
Tell me that thing does not, well, when I saw it, it reminded me of Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy's SpongeBob.
It did. It really did. Like it.
Yeah, I can't unsee that now.
The boatmobile. I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what it is.
Plus the fact that they're like the only two humans that live underwater. That's anyway. One of the scenes I liked was when Diabolik jokerized everybody at the news conference.
Oh, the laughing gas?
Yeah. Like this, they took a lot of. I felt like they took a lot of Batman stuff. You had the cave that had the trap door opening for the car. Jokerized stuff. He has. I wrote he stole that from Batman. That might have been for the cave opening.
Yeah,
cave opening. Yeah. His cave was fancy. Batman's all cave like.
Yeah, his is stupid fancy. he has that wall that you drive into, and it's all like futuristic. And then he takes the garage down to his giant cave hanging over the sea with that spinny bed.
Yeah.
Dude, wasn't it?
Right.
And on a slope.
Yeah, and it was sloped. So that way when the orgy starts getting out of hand, you can just start kicking people down the hill. King of the mountain, bitches!
She wakes him up, and he's like, I want to show you something. And they just roll over into a seating position. Like, what the fuck? Okay. That was weird. When he's trying to climb the wall at the castle. Like, don't get me wrong. The suction cups are cool.
But that was some very
inconvenient.
And that was some hellacious fucking upper body strength that he must have had.
Yeah. Because like he'll
doing those latches and everything.
Yeah, that was God, that was bad.
When did he change his suit to white?
Oh, he did that right at the base of the tower. It shows him peeling off his suit. And he's got this suit underneath that suit.
Well then as soon as he gets the jewels, then he's changed it back to still with white.
Yeah, but then he starts naked.
I was watching with my girlfriend, and she goes, so he changes his suit to white so that he can camo with the castle. That's yet his sense. Suction cups are this bright dark blue color.
Yep. No one will see it. It's fine. It's fine. Oh, I love it.
He didn't have time to spray paint him.
Yeah. Yeah, but he can spray paint his suit.
No, he had that made that way.
Oh, okay. Well, it was... Nah, whatever. Any other scenes that stuck out to you, Joe?
No, I think we covered the ones that really stuck out.
Okay. Ooh, at the end, when Sir Hiss is the governor of finance, and he's reading from the cue cards, and he keeps like looking like here, looking at over here, card, like, and then here, and then here. Like, he keeps looking in different directions because they didn't have the cue cards like in order or something.
Was that on purpose, I wonder?
I think so.
It had to have been.
I hope so.
I did like how he's like, oh, so all of our taxes and stuff are gone.
So are all of our records. So we're just going to trust you guys to give us whatever money.
Yeah.
And everybody's just laughing. Uh-huh, sure they are. Okay.
I liked how when he had to change cue cards, it wasn't simply just like he moved his head or his eyes to look at the other cue cards. He moved his entire body, full rotation, shoulders, everything. It's like cue cards are now over here.
it was great. Oh, I've got written here. So he fakes his death against Valmont and Ginkgo. And within 12 hours, he's already at the morgue getting an autopsy, and Valmont has already been cremated.
Yeah. Like,
that's pretty damn quick.
They're more efficient in Italy.
Apparently.
But they have a lot of old people over there, so they have to be able to move the bodies through quick.
Yeah, at the same time, no one says anything when the nurse just happens to be walking away with the body.
Well,
all say it's Diabolik.
Yeah.
He's be getting autopsized or whatever it's called.
Just autopsied.
Autopsied?
Autopsied. Oh, yeah. I did like how when the news reporter was like, so just tell us, can you tell us anything?
It's going to be sensational.
Yeah.
Maybe she was talking about what's going to happen back at the Batcave.
They definitely did a lot of that. Oh, boy.
Not that we get to see it.
In the car, in the shower.
I mean, when you've been dead for 11 hours and 57 minutes.
You got to make sure everything's still working.
Yep.
Cue Austin Powers. Got to make sure my bits and pieces are still working. My wedding tackle.
The train stopping on the dime was pretty unrealistic.
Oh, that was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, like you had said that there's only three cars. Sure, but it still was probably going pretty fast.
Well, probably like 50, 55. So it was still taking at least, 100 feet to stop.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, with all that weight and gold.
Exactly. That's true, too. Maybe it was never going fast in the first place.
Oh, and then when they probably not. And then when they blew up the bridge, the only train
car that fell was the one with
the gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone else was still in the water.
Everything else got disintegrated.
I assumed it was the front of the train, the back of the train, just hanging there.
Yeah, you.
Yep. Like, oh, shit, we're
Diabolics. She's like, well, that didn't work.
Whoopsie. You got anything else?
No, actually, that's it.
Okay. And you got anything else, Joe? Because I think I'm done as well.
No, that's...
Nope.
Oh, you know what? Oh, go ahead, Sergio. I was going to say, also the scene in the plane where he's like, all right, I promise not to shoot you.
Oh, yeah.
He said please, then he opens the trap door underneath him.
Well, he didn't. He said please.
That's true, and he didn't shoot him.
Scene, I definitely didn't. Some of the people in the plane were past until they just started carrying them and just dropping them over the hole.
He shot him.
He's like, oh, yeah, so I got, there's five with me and three against me. Then he pulls out his gun and shoots two of them, and apparently his stray bullet almost hits his one guy.
He moves his head, and it punches a hole in the plane, and he uses a piece of gum to patch it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is no big deal.
One thing that did confuse me, why was Diabolik taking the bullets out of
they never explained that.
Yeah, they did. He took the heads off the bullets, put the emeralds in the bullets, and shot the guy.
That's what happened. Okay, what? I was wondering that, too. I was like, how did it get in his body?
Yeah, I was.
That's why he goes nine wounds, nine bullets.
No, he said 11 wounds, 11 bullets.
Oh, that's right.
And then he was probably nine
emeralds.
Yeah, like
two of them ended up places that he didn't want to get them back.
I guess that makes more sense. But I thought the emeralds were bigger.
Yeah.
Well, no, they were bigger because
they were massive. So it would have never fit through the barrel.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
Yeah,
there's your science.
Yeah. Or that'd be comic book logic. I don't know.
Might be comic book logic.
We'll do comic book logic.
So, hey, we got four.
Almost.
Almost got bingo. We'll get bingo someday. I forgot to ask this. I assume, Joe, first time watching this?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, I hadn't even heard about it until you brought it to my attention.
Same.
I take that back. I actually think I have a Danger Diabolik comic at home.
Really?
I think so. I have to look for it.
You check that out and get back to me. Because that's kind
of
cool.
I think it was in one of the little packages that I bought from Half Price Books where they put like 10 stupid comics in there. And I'm fairly certain it was a really stupid comic. But
I mean, probably was.
I wonder what the artwork looks like. This could completely be a TV show.
I mean,
yeah.
So especially with – it's a comic strip, obviously, like I said earlier. And that last act – after he wakes up from the hospital, and then they go into the new Minister of Interior wanting to get
a Diabolik
out of everything. Like that last 20 minutes felt like an add-on that it could have been its own episode.
Exactly.
So in theory, I think Emily, she sent me a thing that Roger Ebert had talked about
a review
of it. Nope, that's not the one I want. And apparently said something similar, like it was so disjointed because it was following, a comic strip, and comic strips aren't, they have a, just think of Dick Tracy. Dick Tracy is probably the best example. It's a comic strip-esque comic, but they're all so separate, trying to put a thing together, just, That's where you have your problems,
right?
But no, like this wasn't terrible. I was definitely
expecting worse.
Yes, so it's definitely not the worst one we've seen,
definitely,
and it will not be the worst one we will watch. I can tell you that right
definitely
now.
Definitely not.
But so let's go ahead and go into our reviews, our numbers. Joe, would you care to start out of 10? What would you give this film?
Not to compare it with obviously modern comic book movies or anything like that. Just looking at it for what it is and its entertainment value, I would give this a 6.7.
Nice. Okay. Ravel?
Yeah, I was going to give it a 7.5, but then we didn't get to see any titties. So I'm just going to drop down to a solid 7.
7. Okay. Seven. So,
because it had a better storyline than Barbarella, but Barbarella showed me lots more.
And that's the thing. Like my score for Barbarella was 5.5. I would watch Barbarella over this again,
just for the titties.
But this was this was fun.
Oh, it was absolutely.
Yeah.
Shit.
Should have just had some boobs. That's all it was. Right?
I mean,
all
you needed. And again,
this entire movie is just a tease.
It really was. And I know the copy, and you might have watched the same copy on YouTube. It said it was DVD like quality or DVD ripped or whatever. So I'm wondering if maybe if I do get DVD that there is some scenes that would make a difference. I'm just saying.
No, you're really wrong.
I honestly, I'll probably give this like a 6.5. I think that's what I'm gonna go with. Which is higher than I expected, not gonna lie, but it was fun. That being said, out of our three, that will give this a score of 6.73.
Yeah, that's right.
So nice.
That's not terrible. I need to actually write down.
Let's see, Barbarella is still our highest with a 7.5.
What was the lowest? Barbara?
The lowest was Superman and the Mole Man, I believe.
Superman and the Mole Man.
And that one was at a 4.
Yeah.
We have that at a 4. Oh, no, wait. Barbarella was at a 5.88.
I was gonna say, I thought that was
the Flash was at a 7.5.
Flash Gordon, the greatest adventure cartoon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That one was fun. 6.73. That's not terrible.
No, that's a third highest.
Still higher than Barbarella, which... Interesting, but
despite no boobs.
Well, Joey gave Barbarella a really low score.
Did you give it the lowest?
No, I gave it a 7.
No, Jordan did. Jordan gave it the lowest. Jordan gave it a 3.
Yeah, because you gave it a 5.5. Everyone gave it an 8, scale. And I gave it a 7.
That makes sense because Jordan doesn't like boobs.
Yeah, I talk about all the time. I love it. That's not bad. Alrighty. Well, Joe, thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me watch this movie.
Definitely do not want to have you come on, like wait another year and a half for you to come back on. So we'll get you back on here, probably on the rundown reviews. But would you like to share with everybody where they can find you?
Yes. Wreck My Podcast can be found at anywhere you get podcasts. We're like a nostalgia podcast where we watch or listen to things that we loved as teenagers or adolescents and see if we still like them as adults. Typically, we don't.
Yeah, you guys tend not to anymore. There's a very few where you guys were like, oh, yeah, this held up. This is great. Yeah. This is a wreck.
Usually we're like, no, this is bad. Just for a 10-year-old.
Although I did watch, so you guys, during the Christmas season, you guys covered Jingle All the Way.
And yeah. Dude, I keep seeing the ads for that, and I'm like, man, I should probably watch that. And then I'm like, no, wait, I remember how bad it was when I watched it as a kid.
So I watched it this past Christmas season. It was our girls' first time watching it. I made them sit down and watch it with us.
Nice.
They enjoyed it. They both liked it.
Did they want a Turbo Man afterwards?
No. But it was fine. This was a movie.
Yes,
it was indeed. I liked it.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. It was. I mean, it wasn't like great good, but it was enough to keep it entertaining throughout the whole movie.
Correct.
Yeah, that's why I gave it the score that I did. You definitely were entertained the entire time. Kept you wanting to watch.
Yes. So our next movie we will be watching. I really need to redo that list, but. Need to get it correct, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be watching Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Is that a cartoon? Ooh.
That's a cartoon. That's off the Batman animated series.
Did I tell you I watched The Killing Joke the other day?
Did you?
Yeah.
Ooh, how'd you like it?
I liked it a lot, actually. It was really good. I don't understand why Batman fucked Barbara. I mean, I do understand.
Yeah. But I don't understand that entire opening sex scene and segment that is never in the comic.
Correct. It wasn't supposed to be there. They were just trying to get you to like Barbara. which so that when she gets shot in later on by Joker, you feel something.
But,
it's like,
I liked Barbara before she banged Batman too.
Right there, exactly.
Like the banging Batman part to me, that was Batman like, I'm gonna be ashamed of this in the morning.
No, he won't. He won't be ashamed of nothing. He don't care.
Mark Hamill the best Joker voice?
Always. What?
I mean, yes. But there's some good contenders in there.
Who? So,
Heath Ledger for one.
Name three.
Michael Keegan. No, not Michael Keegan Scott.
He played Batman. Michael Keaton.
Yeah, Michael Keaton. I said Keegan. Keegan.
Oh, Keegan.
That's what I thought. You hear Joker, you think Mark Hamill.
Cesar Romero. Yeah.
He didn't voice him. He played him.
He voiced Joker.
No, he played Joker.
Did he have a voice?
No.
That's the end of that. Thank you guys for listening to Rundown Reviews. We'll catch you guys later. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.